Well, we are getting near the end of our series on living our best life now. Next week will be our final sermon in the series, and today we're going to talk about the idea of to live to give. It seems to me as Christians, we are taught from an early age that we are to give. We are to give of our time, certainly give of our money, give of our talents and abilities, all of which are God-given. And to give without expecting anything in return. We live in a society, though, where we're told to look out for number one. We're told to be kind of cynical, to not trust people. And probably the greatest challenge we face is in our quest to enjoy our best life now is the temptation to be kind of selfish. And because we believe God wants the best for us, because we believe that God wants us to prosper, that we have the favor of God, that He has much more in store for our lives, that it's easy for us to sometimes slip into the trap of selfishness. Society teaches us to look out for number one, as I said, that when we do try to help someone, that we have an attitude of what are we going to get in return. I think we could acknowledge that we live in a me generation. And I think it's that same narcissism that sometimes spills over into our relationship with God, our families, and even with one another. Many people today, I think, are blatantly and unashamedly living for themselves. They're not interested in people. They're certainly not interested in other people's needs. They are focused on what they want, what they can acquire for themselves. But the problem with that is they're never satisfied. And ironically, it is, I think, that attitude that condemns them to living a life that's rather shallow. Because they're always trying to grab the next thing. So friends, if you want to experience your best life now, if you want to experience a life that has a profound impact in your own family, in your community, then you need to trust that God is going to pour out many blessings upon you. But in order for that to happen, you have to be willing to bless others. You have to be willing to do your part. There's a couple pieces of scripture I want to read this morning as we begin. One of them is from Genesis chapter 12, and it's verses 1 through 3. And this is the story of Abram, who later would become Abraham. Said, the Lord had said to Abram, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. And I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make you your name great, and you will be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all people on earth will be blessed through you. That's what Abraham was told by God, that was going to happen to him. Now I want to read from 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 2, which simply says, out of the most severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. May the Lord bless the reading of His Word. There's five things that I want us to learn this morning that I hope we can take, each of us can take with us, because as I've said before in this sermon series, there are times when I feel like I'm talking to myself more than I'm talking to anybody else, because this has been kind of a challenging sermon series for me. But the first thing we need to understand, or we need to get a hold of, is this idea of experiencing the joy of giving. Now, you may not realize it, but it is extremely selfish to go around always dwelling on your problems. always thinking that your problems are worse than anybody else's, that no one could possibly understand what you're going through. And one of the best things that you can do to solve your problem is to help someone else with their problem. Because there's always somebody that's going through worse than you are. And if you think today that you are the person that's going through so much today, let me tell you something, there's someone else that's going through just as much, or if not more. And if you want to experience a blessing in your life, then you need to be able to bless the lives of others. If you want your dreams to come to pass, why don't you help someone else's dream come to pass? Basically, we need to start sowing some seeds. You say, but Pastor, I don't have anything to give. I'm tapped out. I don't have the energy. I don't have the strength. I don't have the finances. I don't have this. I don't have that. And I'm here to tell you that you have a lot to give. You can give a smile. A smile goes a long way. You can give a hug. You can even bake someone a cake or chocolate chip cookies. I'm always good for chocolate chip cookies. My office hours are out front over there, so if you want to bring them by in the morning, that would be great. Put a smile on my face, I'll tell you that. You can mow someone's lawn. You can take them to the grocery store or go to the grocery store and get some things for them. Visit them in their home, in the hospital, in the nursing home. Take time to get to know them. There's someone out there today that needs what you can share, what you can give. They need your smile. They need your friendship, your love, your encouragement. God did not create us to be lone rangers. He created us to be free. He did not intend for us to be independent of each other. I heard a remarkable story about a set of twins who were just a few days old. It was a boy and a girl. And the girl had a serious heart condition. She was born with it, and she was not expected to live. And she was getting worse and worse and worse. And the doctors were preparing her parents and telling her that her death was close. She wasn't going to make it. Well, one of the nurses thought of an idea that she thought might help, but in order to do it, she would have to go against the hospital rules. And so she went to the doctors and she asked if she could place both of the babies in the same incubator. And eventually the doctors said, okay. And so she put both of the little brother and sister babies, she put them in the same incubator. And at some point, the healthy baby had reached its arm and put it around his sister. Before long, for no apparent reason, the heart began to stabilize and heal. Her blood pressure came up to normal. Temperature soon followed suit. Her blood pressure and everything was changing, and little by little, she was healed. And today, they left the hospital, as perfectly healthy little babies. The newspaper heard about it, and they ran a story about the story, and they had a photographer come to the hospital, and he took a picture of the babies in the incubator as they laid side by side with the little boy's arm around his sister. The caption read, "The Rescuing Hug." How many of us need a rescuing hug today? How many of us know someone that needs a rescuing hug today? We need to focus on being a blessing instead of living a self-centered life, because we have so much to offer, so much to give, so much to share. But when you center your life around yourself, you're missing out on many things. You're missing out on God's best, and you're robbing others of the joy that God can give them. In Hebrews it says, "But encourage one another daily as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness." In the book of Isaiah, chapter 58, it says, "I want you to share your food with the hungry, to welcome poor wanderers into your home, give clothes to those who need them, and do not hide from relatives who need your help." That's an interesting one. Wondering where he put that one in there. "If you do these things, your salvation will come like the dawn. Yes, your healing will come quickly." Now, we live in a day when, you know, it's not really safe for us to open our doors to strangers. And we understand that. We also understand in the time that this was written, that was a thing that was done. But there are things that we can do. We can develop a relationship, a connection with somebody, even if it's just for a couple of minutes. When I was working and doing some things with the homeless in the Portland area, the one thing that they told us, the one thing that they always asked for was just some recognition that they were there. A smile, a handshake, a pat on the back, anything. We need to establish an attitude today that says, well, who can I bless today? Who can I give a smile to today? We must do something better. We must do something. God is implying that we will not be blessed simply so we can live lavishly or self-indulgently, but we are blessed so that we can become a blessing. And unless you're willing to be a blessing, God will not pour out His favor and goodness in your lives. God will bless us with the same measure that we bless others. In Proverbs it says, "He who is kind to the poor lends to the Lord, and He will reward him for what he has done." The second thing that we can do is to learn to show God's kindness and mercy. 1 Thessalonians says, "Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always try to be kind to each other and to everybody else." God wants us to be proactive. He wants us to be ready to show kindness. One of the things that we can do is to overcome evil with good. Because when people are against us, it's human nature for us to want to retaliate or get back or to pass judgment on them. But God is telling us to love them. This is something that, as I've been going through this sermon series, it's been hard for me to kind of get it in my head sometimes that there are people in my life that have wronged me that I need to forgive. And I'm reminded of the story of Peter, who went to Jesus and said, "Boy, these people, they've just been killing me. And you're telling me that I need to apologize? Or I need to ask, I forgive them, I mean? How many times do I have to forgive them? 7 times? And what did Jesus say? 70 times 7, right? Which is what? Infinity. Well, how do you think Peter responded to that? The Bible says it is the goodness of God that leads people to repentance. So we can show the goodness of God and His love when we overcome evil with good. The Bible also says love doesn't hold on to grudges. How many of us have grudges? How many of us have unforgiving hearts? You may have people in your life that have wronged you, that have said things to you. You may feel like your whole life has been stolen by somebody or some situation. But if you choose to let go of your grudge and forgive them, you can overcome that evil with good. And if you do that, God will pour out His favor on you and your life in fresh new ways. He will honor you. He will reward you. And whatever wrong has been done to you, He will make right. The second thing that we need to do in regard to this is we need to go the extra mile. I'm reminded, as I mentioned earlier today, about the story of Abraham. Abraham was with his nephew Lot, and they were They had all this stuff. I mean, they had accumulated a lot of wealth. And they had so much stuff that they didn't have the land for it. So even though God had promised Abraham all this beautiful land and all these children and all these descendants, he got to a point where he went to Lot and he said, "Okay, Lot, we need to separate, right? And we got this land over here that's got water and it's green and it's beautiful and everything. And then we got this section over here that's not bad. It's not as good as over here, but it's not bad. So we're going to choose. I'm going to let you choose first. Where do you want to go?" And Lot said, "Well, I want to go over here because it's green and it's got water and vegetation, all this stuff." And he said, "Okay, I'll take what you choose not to." Maybe you feel you're the one who's doing all the giving in some situations. Maybe perhaps you're the one who has always gone the extra mile. And maybe because of that, people have taken advantage of you and they don't appreciate you. Well, let me tell you something today, people. God sees your integrity. Nothing goes unnoticed in God. So don't grow weary in doing good. God is a just God. He sees what's going on in your life. And if we remain unselfish, and because of our unselfishness, because sometimes we prefer others, because you're aiming for kindness, one day God will say to you, as he said to Abraham, "As far as you can see, I'm going to give it to you." So don't worry. Go the extra mile. Learn to give and give generously. The third thing we need to do is keep your heart of compassion open. We need to have the ability to empathize. We need to have the ability to show compassion. Now, compassion is simply feeling what others feel, being concerned, showing that you care. In other words, when you see somebody in need, you feel their pain. You understand what they're going from. You don't take comfort in it. You recognize their pain. Everywhere you go, there's going to be people in pain, people hurting. There's people that are discouraged, broken dreams, mistakes that they've made that they're having to live with today. They need to feel God's compassion and his unconditional love, not judgment. They need to know that there are people out there who love them anyway. As a church, we have this wonderful opportunity with the AA and NA groups that meet in our building every day. And it's wonderful to be able to talk to them once in a while when you have the opportunity and it presents itself. And for those that are doing the leadership of it, oftentimes they come to us, and I think that Don and others can attest to this, that they're so grateful for being able to use our building. And they are so grateful that we have allowed them to meet at various times of the day. And what a great way for us to show God's love. Now, every one of them, just like us, we make mistakes. And we do have to live with those mistakes, but we have something that takes us through those times, and that is the love of God. So if you want to live your best life now, make sure you have a heart of compassion. Take time to listen. Take time to listen. Hear their stories. They can be heartbreaking. And sometimes their stories changes your perception of who they are. Because you realize what they've gone through. And it hurts, the pain. It hurts. We need to learn to reach out, because throughout life, God leads people to us who are in need. And if we are sensitive to the situation, we will discern the supernatural love that God has for us that we can show to others, directing you toward a person in need. A lot of times I think we make God's leading too complicated. We want God to speak to us. We want Him to lead us. We want Him to point us in the right direction. We want Him to the person that He wants us to connect with. And sometimes we think the only time we're going to know it's for sure is we feel those goosebumps or maybe thunder from heaven. But the reality is that when you feel love, you are feeling God. God is talking to you. And when you feel compassion towards someone, that's God's way of telling you to be a blessing to that person. Which leads us to the fourth section. We must understand the seed that we plant, that we sow, must lead. Galatians 6:7 says, very familiar passage, whatever a man sows, that and only that is what he will reap. And I think one of the main hindrances to living your best life now is selfishness. As long as you focus on what you want, what you need, you will never experience God's best. And all through the Bible, we find the principles of sowing and reaping. Just as a farmer plants seeds, hoping for a wonderful harvest, we too must plant the seeds in the fields of our families, our careers, our businesses, our personal relationships. If you want to reap happiness, you have to sow some happiness into the lives of people. If you want to reap friendships, then you need to sow into friendships. If you want to reap blessings, then you need to sow blessings into the lives of others. Remember, the seed always leads to something. Proverbs 11 says, it is possible to give away and become richer. It is also possible to hold on too tightly and lose everything. Yes, the liberal man shall be rich, but by watering others, he waters himself. Which leads us to the final thing, which is the concept of sowing and growing. If we are to grow in our faith, then we need to do our part. We need to sow into the lives of others. And sometimes who we are on the outside doesn't really articulate who we are on the inside. We can come to church on Sunday morning and get all excited about the message and get all excited about the worship experience, but something happens to us when we get outside the door. Mark Hall from Casting Crowns wrote a song, and part of the song says, somewhere between the altar and the door, something happens to us. We get all warm and fuzzy, we're in the worship service, but when we leave the building, we're like, we forget everything that happened. We forget that warm feeling that we felt in the service. We don't take it with us. So sometimes who we are on the outside isn't who we are on the inside. Reminds me of the Dead Sea. Dead Sea is probably one of the most fascinating bodies of water on earth. The water is dense due to its high mineral content. Even a non-swimmer can float. Matter of fact, a human being can actually sit down in the water and read a newspaper without sinking. They bring tourist buses to the Dead Sea, and people get out, and if you're adventurous enough, you can jump into the water and float. But there's a problem with this, and that is that once you get back in the boat, no one's going to want to sit next to you because the water is putrid. Fed by Israel's Jordan River, the Dead Sea has no outlet. That's why it's kind of called the Dead Sea. All the fresh water flowing into it becomes stagnant. And although it may be beautiful to look at, and interesting and fascinating to study, the water is undrinkable, it's polluted, and it stinks. So the question is here today, what seed are you putting into the ground? Is what you show on the outside who you really are on the inside? Are you giving God anything to work with? Or are you just kind of holding on for dear life? Maybe you need to start planning and start planting. Ecclesiastes says, give generously, for your gifts will return to you later. Divide your gifts among many, for in the days ahead you yourself may need much help. I mean, picture it this way. When you give, you're storing up God's goodness of His favor for your time in need. You have a great harvest from which God can draw from. When God reaches into your harvest, the question is there anything there? Is there anything for Him to give you? Are you sowing the seeds of kindness? Are you keeping God first in your finances? Are you living to give, or are you living to get? Remember, God sees your gifts. When you give, it definitely gets God's attention. Now, I'm not saying that we can buy miracles. I'm not saying you have to pay God to meet your needs. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying God sees your gifts. He sees your act of kindness. He sees your heart. And in your time of need, God will provide. 2 Corinthians 9:8 that I read earlier, when we give, God is able to make it all up to us by giving everything we need and more, so that there will not only be enough for our needs, but we will have plenty left over so that we can give joyfully to others. Basically, your gift is a memorial to God, and He will begin to pour out His favor upon you. Now, as a pastor, I don't like preaching about money. I don't like preaching about giving, tithe. I've been down that road, and it's never good. But part of being obedient to God is giving of our tithes and our offering. And I know there are people who can, and there are people who can't. I'm very much aware of that. And the fact that if you can't give, but you're here, we're grateful that you're here. We're grateful that you're here. We love it that you're here. But part of being obedient to God is giving of ourselves, giving of the finances that He has given us, using our talents and our skills and our abilities that God has given us, our personalities, are you a people person? If you're not, then you need to get right with God so you can be a people person. Because God created you to be a people person. Your best life now. Don't hoard what God has given you. Don't keep it to yourself, because as people have said before, if you're holding all that stuff up, you know, there's no U-Haul going to heaven, so you're not taking it with you. Learn to give. Learn to sow a seed of faith. Learn to sow a seed of growth in your own life. Learn to be a cheerful giver. Learn to keep your heart of compassion open so that others will see Christ in you. And remember that when you give, you are preparing a way for God to meet your needs as well as the needs of others. And when you are generous to others, God will always be generous to you. I pray that as a church, we are a generous church. Certainly, we are generous in the use of the building. Sometimes we get caught up in some of the stuff that happens and we lose track of the real reason why we're here. Sometimes in our own humanness, we want things to go a certain way, and if it doesn't go that way, then it's no good. Or sometimes we have ideas in our head that we want things to be like they were 40 or 50 years ago or whatever. But when we do those things, we are preventing God from working. And when we do and we have those kind of attitudes, we are preventing God to bless us so that we can bless others. And that's what the church is here to do. We're here to bless others. We've already got our ticket. We know where we're going. But what about those others out there who don't know? What about those people out there who just need someone to recognize them, to give them some dignity? What about those who are struggling right now because they're away from their families? They're hurting financially. They're hurting emotionally, physically. What about them? Do we have the compassion to love them, to give of ourselves so that they too will know Christ? Can we do that? Let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, my hope and my prayer for each of us is that we can begin to understand that we are not here simply for ourselves. That this church is here not just for a select few. That we are here to help grow, but we are also here so that others may come to the full knowledge of your love for them. And we can't do it at arm's length, and we can't do it by being judgmental. And we can't do it by holding back what we have and saying, look what I have, and someday God will bless you too. But that we need to be willing to give of ourselves, of our time, of our talents and abilities. And sometimes it can be just as simple as a handshake, an acknowledgement. So Lord, I pray for each one of us here that we can be a blessing in the lives of others, that you will not only lead us to the people and the person that you want us to bless, but also, Lord, give us the ability to bless them, to walk away from the selfishness that we sometimes live in, to live for you in ways that change the lives of others. I pray that for each one of us here today. And I pray in your name and in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.